Be it unto me according to your word. We can see fairly quickly why this passage, the affirmation of the Blessed Virgin Mary to her call, would be used today as we celebrate the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. When Mary says, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word," she is saying yes to God's call. She's giving her all, submitting herself, completely giving herself to God's word, to his will, which undoes the fall where Eve said no, refused to obey God. And so the consequences of the fall came upon all humanity. And so as our Lord Jesus Christ came as the second Adam to undo the fall, here we have Mary in the role of the second Eve. The consequences of the fall were sin. We don't just do sin, but we have sin. As John says in his first letter, that if we say we have no sin, then the truth of God is not in us. We have sin as a consequence of the fall. But here, undoing that, the second Adam prepared for himself a second Eve, who said yes, as our colleague says, to consecrate a dwelling place for the incarnation. Even as the first woman was taken out of the side of man. Now, here, the second Adam is taken out of the side of the second Eve. And so it is, however, we have then this unfolding, these bookends in our reading today, which began with Genesis, which recounts that first no. That first no that made necessary that yes of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so the one who wreaks his havoc over the world, the one who deceived the first Eve, we have this prediction of how his head will be crushed, as we have depicted for us in much of Christian art, the Blessed Virgin Mary standing on the head of a serpent or a dragon. It's on the back of this chasuble and these vestments that I'm wearing tonight. And so how do we get this imagery? Well, we've already started to lay the groundwork for that, because the Blessed Virgin Mary has undone the curse, which was inspired by the serpent. But there's also a passage in Genesis which has this translation, and I'm looking right now at my Dewey Range in a parallel translation with the Latin Vulgate. And in the Dewey Range, we have a different translation of our reading tonight from Genesis. It's from around the time of our King James Version with similar language. And it says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman," speaking to the serpent, God now, giving his curse to the serpent, "and thy seed and her seed. She shall crush thy head, and thou shalt lie in wait for her heel." But if you notice tonight, we actually have a different translation for that. Here it says clearly, the Blessed Virgin Mary will crush the head of the serpent, you know, foreseeing her future, yes. But interestingly, tonight in our translation from the Revised Standard Version, it says, "He shall bruise your head," instead of "she shall crush thy head." In fact, this is how all modern translations relate to it. So how do we get to this place, and what is right, and does it matter? Well, the Dewey Rheims follows the Vulgate, which says, "ipsa conterit caput tuum," which clearly is the "she" from the Latin Vulgate, instead of the "ipse," which would be "he himself." She herself will crush your head. Right here. But actually, this is a later version of the Vulgate. In Jerome's first version of the Vulgate, it says he, which follows the Hebrew, which is the original translation. So what's right? And does it matter? Well, actually, one way to explain this change could be simply a scribal error, because elsewhere, God is addressing she, and so it's credible to think that a scribe would just continue the same pronouns as had happened earlier. And in fact, that's a likely result here, because the earlier manuscripts are all pretty much in agreement, along with most of the fathers and modern scholars together, even though some early fathers seem to follow this translation, but they're in the minority. So does this mean that this imagery, that these vestments are wrong? Well, hardly. Because actually, by looking at the broader perspective of Scripture, we come to understand more deeply the Immaculate Conception and the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary as the one who truly does crush the head of the serpent. So if this translation was an error or a pious opinion, it's really of no consequence to the doctrine of our church, especially the Immaculate Conception. Because by her very yes, which is incontrovertible, by her very yes, the Blessed Virgin Mary participates in that crushing of the head, which the incarnation assured would occur. And that, and the groundwork for that was laid by her yes, by that initial undoing the curse. And for this reason, the Blessed Virgin Mary is, yes, she's a creature, but she participates in the divinity of Christ, even as we are called to as well, to ultimately, after our redemption, after our baptism, to take that divinity upon us. What our Lord did was prepared her ahead of time so that yes could pave the way for his incarnation. As the moon reflects the sun, so she participates in that divinity, even as a creature, to play the role, simply to truly embody the role of the second Eve. And so, in this sense, we relate to the Blessed Virgin Mary not just as a saint, but as a proto-saint. You know, as the Catholic Church tried to understand how we venerate the saints, there is a distinction between the honor due to God alone, which is a word, latria, and to refer to honor due to God alone, versus the dulia, which refers to the worship as in the language of the early fathers, refers to the honor that we would give saints, to creatures. But to the Blessed Virgin Mary is given a hyperdulia, because her exalted role is preeminent, and it paves the way for all other saints that would come after. And so it is that the Blessed Virgin Mary not only undoes the curse in her initial yes as the second Eve, but she also becomes the one who is invoked in exorcisms as the ministry of the church goes forward today. Some of you may be familiar with Father Gabriel Amorth, who was the Vatican exorcist, and he says that he always invokes the Blessed Virgin Mary in his exorcisms, because exorcisms are far more effective when he does. And so, in his own words, he says, "What role does the Virgin have in the liberation of the obsessed? Mary, as the Hail Mary says, is full of grace. She is the mediatrix of God's every grace for all men, particularly for those who suffer much, including those who suffer from spiritual evils. The enmity between Mary and Satan, proclaimed solemnly by God in the first book of Genesis, as we just have been recounting, and manifest in the eschatological struggle with the dragon," that's referring to the struggle in Revelation, "makes her the number one enemy of the demon. She will be the one to crush his head at the end of time." And so he says, as he continues, it's worth quoting him further here, "The help of the Virgin, however, goes beyond the exceptional situations of the demoniacs. In every man's struggle against Satan and sin, it is always she who represents the extraordinary and the irreplaceable. The demon is terrified of her. In order to be very clear, he says, I wish to cite an episode in which I personally assisted many years ago. During an exorcism, Father Candido asked the devil a question. Why are you more afraid when I invoke Mary than when I implore God himself? He responded, I feel more humiliated being conquered by a simple creature than by God himself. So in the Blessed Virgin Mary, all of humanity is exalted. All creatureliness is exalted as being capable of being able to participate the redemption with God. And so we are called after the fact, even as we come to the altar and stand by the cross at which the Blessed Virgin Mary did so, full of grace. And we are able to go be sent forward to go in the holiness that she prefigured for us. So in Genesis, we read that it is the seed who is the one who will crush the head of the serpent. And the Hebrew translation, the earliest Vulgate, yes, that is our Lord. But what does the seed come from? The seed comes from the fruit. The seed it bears the likeness of the fruit and will ultimately bear more like the one from which it came. And so the head of the serpent is crushed as the fruit, the Virgin Mary, prepared ahead of time, gives forward the seed, our Lord Jesus Christ, which will blossom and create many more who represent the same characteristics of that first seed, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so let us go forward as that crushing of the head continues. It has begun, and it will be completed at the end of time, as is made clear in the book of Revelation. And so let us participate that even as we come to the altar and we are aided by the prayers of the Immaculate Virgin Mary.